ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Born ready. Right.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Indie Investor Speakeasy. Very excited to have today's guest on, Brian Snyder. He definitely has a lot of, he's done a lot in a short amount of time. It's pretty remarkable, and he'll kind of touch on what he's done and what he's doing now. But Brian, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, excited to be here. So I can't believe it's been... You guys have done like 20, 25 episodes without me. It's a little
you're always traveling. You're never here.
Yeah. Well, and we had to figure out how to get it right so that the recording was consistently right. Like actually done. Also, like
still not.
Okay. Hey, we'll get there one of these days. But I know this is your first podcast you've ever been interviewed on here. You feeling comfortable?
Yeah, I feel okay. So okay. I think I've done over 400 podcasts at this point. Stuff. Actually, just on one last night. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, man. So I know you don't have to go too deep on too much, but why don't you just give us a rundown kind of how you got to where you are now, kind of where you started and everything in between.
Yeah. So was a middle school math teacher for 14 years, working on my master's to become a principal, and realized real quick that was like the worst job in the world and did not fit my personality at all to be a principal. So connected with Brett Snodgrass, one of my friends through church, and just kind of, started working with him in the real estate game, not knowing anything about real estate, not knowing anything about wholesaling or anything like that. So started working with him, amazing mentor, and he taught me a ton really quickly, which was awesome. So started off doing some marketing, some meetup stuff for him, and then moved into dispo. And I think that first year I was like selling properties for him. I think we sold like 350 properties or whatever that first year. So as an agent, I looked awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're probably getting the recruitment calls. But yeah, so completely different. But then moved into some doing operational stuff for him, and then moved into the CEO seat, and Brett moved over to the owner's box for a little while and stuff. And I was the CEO of Simple Quarters here in Indy for 2 years. And then at that same time, our business coach, Gary Harper, kind of reached out to me, and with my education background, asked if I wanted to do some coaching with him and kind of help out his team a little bit. So for 2 years, I was traveling around and doing some coaching, got to see like kind of the backside of or back end of a lot of businesses and stuff for real estate investors across the nation, which was awesome. Kind of at the same time too, I kind of just, Brett and I had been a member of CG, Collective Genius, for I think 6 years at that point. And I just kind of reached out to them and said like, hey, a lot of my coaching clients are in CG Select. Like, yeah. I love that kind of clientele. I love working with that person that's really like kind of they're in that process of they know how to make money, but they're ready to kind of turn it into a business.
A real business.
I love working with that type of real estate investor. So, started doing some facilitation at the CG events. And then at the same time too, the real estate industry was kind of starting to change a little bit. It's starting to get a little bit harder. And Brett and I kind of had a conversation. He was kind of a little bit worried about how things were going to go because our process, Randy, of course, we're wholetailing everything. That's a lot of money out there. And, at some point when you're taking down everything and doing it that way. And Brett was a little bit concerned about just kind of what the industry was going to end up doing and kind of that thing. And I was honestly at the point, just full transparency, I was like, if I need to jump back into the business and like start doing acquisition calls and start going on appointments and like kind of be in the weeds again. I was so used to you and Anna running everything and like me kind of like coming up with the ideas and implementing it. And then you and Anna would take it and run with it, whether it's sales or operations. And so if it was somebody that needed to get back in the business, that wasn't going to be me. Like, I was ready to kind of move on and do something else. So, Brett was ready to kind of jump back in and just kind of get a grasp on things. So at the same time, CG was looking for a COO to come on board with them. So it's been an amazing opportunity so far. So I've been in there for, I think 16 months in that CEO role or COO role with CG.
Long? Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's been great, but that's amazing community and things like that. So I feel like it'd be a great place for some of these investors in these couches right here.
Yeah, I bet. I personally have seen like kind of the changes you've made, and it's always been amazed like how many opportunities have been like thrown at you, but that's just because just the type of personality you are. Like, you want to give, and then when you give, you always get something back. You mentioned that you did some stuff with Sharper. Kind of tell what were you doing with those people that you met with,
and what is Sharper?
Yeah, what is Sharper? What did you do, and like how, what did you what was your big takeaway from your time with them?
Yeah, so Sharper Business Solutions, owned by Gary and Susan Harper. Basically what they do is they do business implementations. That's kind of their number one product, the number one thing that they do. So basically those people that they know how to make money and they're just like we were talking about, they're ready to turn it into a business. like every successful business runs off of some type of an operating system. So it's basically like how to run your meetings, how to set up a scorecard, how should, what should you be tracking? What does your financials look like? How do you set up your departments? How do you do an org chart? Like all those types of things that a lot of solopreneurs and moving into entrepreneurs as real estate investors, you don't know because you're a hustler. You're just out there making money. Then all of a sudden you hire a couple of people and you have a business now and you need the metrics, the KPIs to follow and how to lead a team and how to manage people and stuff like that. So really what Gary and Susan do a very great job at and their team at Sharper is basically implementing a business operating system. Their curriculum called Rise. It's great. It's fantastic. It's their new system they just came out with last year and it's a fantastic curriculum and things. So that's really what I was doing for them is going out and essentially doing business implementation. So I go out and meet with a business for 2 days and like really kind of implement that operating system into their business and help them, kind of understand just what I was going through of like, hey, let's, it all starts with like core values of understanding your core values and knowing what they are. And then your business plan, what's your 5-year plan, breaking down in 2-year and then 1 year and quarterly. And then what KPIs are we going to track and who's reporting to whom and all those kind of things and stuff. Yeah. So I was doing that. And then I'd also be doing a quarterly meeting. So I go out and meet with teams on a quarterly basis too, to basically check in, like, how did you do on your last quarter's, goals? And then like, let's set your new quarter goals and things like that. So
I think that stuff's huge. So the amount of times that you've met with people that you are trying to basically build the base, like what are your core values, who's doing what, how often did you have to unfortunately blow up some companies?
Oh, there are a couple times that definitely happened.
You're like, hey, stuff, this is not working and it's not going to work.
Yeah. Every owner or everybody that's in that kind of CEO seat, like they know what they want to do. Sometimes it was just having a conversation of like, why do they want to do it?
Yeah.
Like a lot of times you realize a lot of people, when they get into real estate, they went to YouTube University or, knew somebody or whatever, that they realized it was a way to make money.
Yeah.
And there was never really that why behind it. No matter what you're doing in life, if you're trying to lose weight, if you want to get married, if you want to, deepen your faith, or if you want to run a business, like you have to understand that's really kind of the what you want to do, but there's the why behind you want to do all that stuff. So getting people to understand the why behind their whole business vision and then the why they're doing everything within their business. Once everybody understands that why, everything just clicks and it makes things a lot more sense and stuff. So, we never changed anybody's, like, hey, you're wholesaling tomorrow, you're gonna start flipping. It was never like that or anything, but there were a couple of times, where it was, sometimes like, hey, Randy, I need to pull you aside for a little bit because I don't think Nick's a long term, player in your business and things. So sometimes I had to have those conversations or, kind of dismiss people from the room other than like two business partners and kind of hash things out because I could tell there was tension conversation that needed to be had
you're like a therapist too.
Sometimes it was so, and sometimes those business partners were husband and wives and I had to have those conversations sometimes and things, but. That's what I love doing though. That's what it's all about for me is I realized going through doing some coaching stuff and even, working with Brett and now working with CG, for me, honestly, it was never necessarily about the real estate. It was about growing businesses and growing people. That's what I love doing. That's why I was a teacher. Like that's what I want to be doing. And that's my passion. And I think that's what, God put me on earth for. And, so being able to do that at a high level with people like CG or Sharper or even, Brett had such a servant mindset of helping out people in here in Indianapolis. It was it was a great, great, real estate was the vehicle for us to be able to do that. And I still get to continue doing it, which is fun. So, and I still get to, work with you guys on some deals here in Indy and stuff too, which is
fun. Oh yeah. We love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess going off of that and moving on to CG. So what, I guess we should say CG is the collective genius. It's actually a group of people or a mastermind that, are they all real estate focused, or what is the whole background behind that?
Yeah. So it's a community. It's a nationwide mastermind, nationwide community of real estate investors or real estate adjacent. Mm-hmm. We'll say, got some people in there, some service providers and things like that, but everything is real estate focused. So I think we have investors, we have 3 different levels or actually 4 different levels of CG now. And there is, there's investors from all across the nation in there. I don't think we have anybody in Alaska or Hawaii or the Dakotas, but basically every other state is taken care of. So I know I can remember back to the first meeting I went to with Brett, and it was like, oh wow, I can talk to people here in Indianapolis. I can talk to people in St. Louis and Kansas City and Columbus, Ohio, because whatever's working for them, it's going to work for us at Indy. Or you could also go out there and talk to people that are in San Diego and Phoenix and Las Vegas, because whatever happens to them out there, it's going to happen here in Indy 3 months later. So you kind of get a heads up on what's to come. CG. So we have, I think, all in all, we have over 400 different members across the four different levels that we have right now. And it's ranging everything from our lowest level is people that are doing in between like 10 and 30 deals a year. That's a little bit more like kind of coaching and hands-on teaching with kind of helping them build their business and stuff. And then we have the select level, which is people that are doing in between like 30 and 75 deals a year. They're the people that they have a business, but they don't know how to run a business yet and be able to make it scalable. And then we have the premier level, which for people that are doing over 75 deals or above, they have established businesses. They generally have operating systems in place and stuff, but now it's like, what's the next thing? They're actually sitting in that, they're learning how to be a true CEO, how to lead their team, how to manage their people and grow their teams and things. And then just this year, we launched also CG CEO, which for people that actually have, they've reached that CEO status. Now they like, what's next for them? Like kind of what's they're doing not just real estate, but maybe they're doing real estate and they have a couple other businesses and things like that. And I think so. Yeah. So it's been really, really been interesting. And it's based off of like, hey, let's dig into people's businesses and help them grow it and scale it. So I think the number one thing we see on everybody's application is the word scale. That's what everybody wants to do is scale their business. And that takes on a lot of different meanings. And sometimes it's having that conversation
with everybody.
It all starts with, I'll go back to why. It all starts with like, hey, why do you want to scale your business? And it's just like, oh, I just want to make more money. Okay. Do you understand everything that comes into actually scaling and what that means?
Yeah.
And that's more expenses. That's more people. That's all kinds
of stuff.
It's
that whole stair step thing where you've got to, to scale your business, you got to bring on more employees, which means more, just different types of work for the CEO. I'm sure that you get a ton of objections when talking to people about, getting started in CG. Top of my head, it's, why would I share my secrets with other people? Why would I spend that money to be a part of an organization where it doesn't necessarily bring me more money directly? Like, are you willing to talk a little bit about how CG kind of gets around that or adds value despite those situations?
Those are two of the biggest objections of like, okay, I don't know if I can afford it. And then I don't, why do I need to like kind of give up my secrets and stuff like that too? So that's one of the things you're going to be asked like right there on a consult of like one of our main core value within CG is that you have to be a go giver. So if you are that person that's just going to be a taker or come in and like not really participate or just kind of sit back and ask for things and not necessarily give, like, you're probably not going to get in of CG, but then you're also going to be asked to leave if that is your mentality and stuff. And we've done that to people and things. But so what makes CG, even though I work for CG, but I'm not what makes CG work. Like it's the community that makes CG work. It's being able to, all we're doing as a team is basically creating a platform. We're not giving business advice. We're not the educators. It's the community that's like, we're just creating the platform. The community is the thing that's really kind of giving the education and helping each other out and stuff. So, which is really, really cool and to see it happen. And so when you come in there and you realize within your first meeting, your first training call really quickly, like, oh wow, man, you're going to see a presentation. At the end of the presentation, they're going to have a QR code up there where you're going to be able to like take a snapshot of it and get a process map or get a checklist. So you can go back and implement in your business right away. And then it's hard to not be a go giver when you're around people that are go givers at heart and want to help each other out and stuff. So, and we do have, there is like some kind of exclusivity of within certain markets, we're not going to have, 10 people in Indianapolis within CG because that it gets competitive, but the MSA basically supports 3 to 4 people and, at our premier level within CG, or within Indianapolis. So, they have people that are in there, they get along and, we'll be careful not to put them in the same room where they're hearing secrets or stuff like that. But I mean, the reality is if you're going to have that kind of the non-abundance mentality, it's probably not the right room for you to be in or anything. Right, so, as far as like not being able to, get that, it is a cost. Like that's what we sell an annual membership, based on, and the price point is based off of what level of investor you are and things. And, the reality is that, I remember having conversations with Brett every year of, man, okay, is this worth it or not? But literally every time we went to a meeting, we made a connection that basically gave us the ROI for the entire year. So there's little things of like, you know, we work with a particular lender that if you're a member of CG, they only do this for us and one other group in the nation. But they have special rates basically as a lender, because they know they're getting the, like, basically the education and have the foundation to be a successful real estate investor, where you can get like 100% financing on your deal and the rehab.
Wow.
So like that right there is going to pay for your membership for, if you're flipping houses, like that's going to pay for your membership for a lot of people and stuff, or it's connecting with another, other service providers, whether it's insurance or direct mail providers or anything like that, where they're giving you a discount. So you're saving money that way and things. But the reality is that you're going to, it's what it comes down to and what CG really is. Whether it's just CG or just masterminds in general, it's finding your community, finding the people that you can sit there and talk to, because I know at this point in my life, like there's no one in my family that I can have a conversation with about business, or right. I can't ask advice on certain things, or, you know, luckily I think Indianapolis has a really good, you know, a really good community of investors that look out for each other. And I'm friends with you guys. We can have conversations about certain stuff. And before we started this podcast, we were like, oh, would you hire a VA to do this or that? Like, so there's people that we have within our circle, but then you join a community like CG to kind of get it on a different scale. You're getting people in different markets and getting a different perspective. You're getting people from people who have been through it as well. So it's like, you're going to be meeting with people that are in it right now or that have already been through it and have been successful. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's like, hey, here's the process. Here's what worked for me. Kind of take it with you. And you can meet with a couple different people, like get, you know, get Brooks's feedback, get Randy's feedback, get Nick's feedback. Okay. What works within my business?
Yeah.
So
I think that's a really good point. You know, I'll speak for myself. I can't speak for you guys. Being a CEO is kind of a lonely job. You might be friends with your employees, but those aren't the people who are thinking about the same things you are in a lot of situations. Like, you might have a great relationship, but they don't understand necessarily the stresses you're under, the KPIs that you're under, because transparently you're as the CEO in most of these situations, you are now responsible for taking care of their families, which is a level of stress that I didn't even have any concept of before I stepped into that particular role. So I wholeheartedly, I think it, you know, being in those rooms is wildly valuable. Despite the fact I'm not currently a member of CG, I understand why somebody would spend that money to get in the room with people who actually understand the pain and the incredible things as well about being a CEO, but the struggles behind that.
Yeah. We sat there and had a conversation. Our leadership team had a conversation, you know, last week of just like, what is the job description for a CEO? And like, when you think about that, it's like you've just always been doing anything and everything and whatever the business needs,
janitor.
But like trying to actually thinking of like, what the actual job description of the CEO are and what are the KPIs that, you know, a CEO should actually be held accountable to and stuff other than just the P&L. Yeah. Like there's a lot of things that can go into that and stuff. So, but Nick, like you said, it's having conversations with people that are in that seat of, cause the reality is like you've earned the title of a CEO because it's your business and you kind of raise that level, but you haven't really been promoted to that level or like kind of been given that job description or whatever it may be. So, but it is also a lonely world and stuff too, because the people on your team aren't necessarily going to be able, they don't have the same buy-in as you do because it's your business.
Well, and just, you know, to expand on that a little bit, when you're an employee, you have a boss who is helping to try and raise your level.
Yeah.
Who's trying to raise your level when you're at the top?
Yeah. What's really cool, that's one of my favorite things about going to, you know, being in a community like CG or another mastermind, or whether it's small, big, or whatever it is, you're paying money for it or not, of being around other people like that. Because I know I would go to CG and I would always evaluate the other leaders within the room too. Like, how would I stack up against them? Or could I run their business the way they do? Or I always looked at, there were certain people, and Randy and I have had this conversation before too, of like, man, if that team came into Indianapolis, we would all be done. They operate at just such a high level and things. So you kind of always, I will say this too, is like, it's, you want to be careful not to get in that comparison trap of like, oh, well Nick's doing this, I need to do this and things like that. But it's one of those things I always like to say of, don't compare yourself against others, compare yourself against your own business plan.
Yeah.
But you can work through that business plan and try to figure out what that business plan is for you with other people that have been through it, which helps.
Yeah. I don't think you want to compare yourself to them, but it's also nice to be around those people who are a little bit better than you. So it helps you raise your game a little bit. Just the competitive aspect of it.
Yeah. But also, like, I mean, my personal experience, I've noticed that, cause I used to be like, I was in CG for a short amount of time. I was able to go, and the first couple of meetings, I was like, oh man, I don't know as much as these people in the room. But then after just having conversations, I realized, oh, I could help this person out with one thing. And that was like my give. That was always my give. It was always revolving around, like, you know, dispositions and, you know, nurturing buyers, things like that. I could talk about that all day to help people, but that was everyone else's pain point. So I found my value. And then if you do that, you always get something back. And
it goes back to your mentality of like, oh, now you can give. Now you're going to be able to, like, people are going to help you out as well.
Yeah, it kind of makes you more open to asking for more, you know, advice because you have something else to give. Yeah. So I always kind of loaded up my one thing I needed to get. The one thing I could give every meeting, and I got the most out of every
that's a good CG way to look that at way. It.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it too. As you said, you like, what's your one thing to get? Because it's really easy to go to something like that, or even if you're going to Ronnie's meetup that he does here in town, you go to there, you're gonna write down like three different things. You can't go back and implement those three things tomorrow. Like, what's that one thing?
I go in with one thing. I'm like, I need to find someone who's better at this than me, and that's what I'll take. Everything else, I'll put it in the idea box. But I need to get this one thing. If I do that, successful trip, and then I'll give. Here's my give.
Yeah. Then we'll try the next thing the next time.
Yeah. It's funny to go back to what you're saying about like the comparison thing too, of what you shouldn't compare. Like, it's really cool to see too, of like when you realize and you have the deeper conversations and things like you're talking about with Randy, of you realize like everybody's business has holes in it. Like, nobody's business is perfect, even though they're like, oh, they're doing this many deals and they're making this,
but
this
their operations, their net profit, and like it's sucks.
Yeah, there's gonna be something else. There's gonna be something in there that they're struggling
with.
Everybody
has a pain point.
Well, yeah. Every company at every point in time has a bottleneck.
Yeah.
Whether it's not enough customers, whether it's not enough ability to call call leads, whether it's not having enough contractors to be able to get out to job, like there's always a bottleneck in every business. And it sounds like what CG does is tries to help everybody identify what that bottleneck is in any given point in time and alleviate that pain so that then you can find the next bottleneck down the line.
And what generally happens is that you might think you're going in like, oh, I think this is my bottleneck, and a lot of times through conversations with other leaders, you're going to realize like, oh, wait, my bottleneck is actually this. Or a lot of times what happens is you realize like, oh, I'm the bottleneck. Like, I'm the one that's kind of holding everybody back or messing things up. Or, hey, I need to get out of here because I need to be focused on something else. So a typical situation for a real estate investor, I think, is like where you're the person that's like the lead acquisitions person. You're the person that's getting the deals and things like that. And there's gonna be a transition where really what you need to do is find somebody to replace you in that and focus on getting money. Those are always the two things that people need: leads, deals, and money. And kind of getting that point of like, oh, I'm the bottleneck because I'm the only one that can get deals. I need to hire and train somebody up correctly so I can go out and find money and things as well.
But nobody's going to be able to do it as well as I do. Brian, how do you answer that question?
I would say that my rule of thumb is basically that within 3 months, if I can get somebody to be 80% as good as me within 3 months, that's a win.
Yeah.
I want to hire somebody that in my head, I know they can be better than me down the road. But I want to train them up, and if they can be 80% as good as me, within 3 months, I know I'm on the right track. That's one way to do it. The other way is basically you're gonna pay for talent in two ways. You're gonna pay for them with time. So that's what I'm talking about right there. Basically, like, hey, I mean, it's gonna take 3 months for them to be 80% of me, and then it's gonna be another couple months till they're 90% and so forth. So I'm gonna pay for that with time, or I'm gonna pay for it with money, where I'm actually gonna hire somebody that's been through it and has done it before. They're going to come at a higher price tag. So you're always going to pay for talent in some way. It's usually going to be with time or money. People usually are hesitant towards paying the money because it's coming out of their paycheck. It's hitting their bottom lines. It's a tough thing to kind of swallow. You want to see what the return is. Then that other case is the time is just that people just aren't patient enough to actually say like, oh man, okay, this is going to take, I know if I'm hiring a lead manager, it's going to take 45 to 60 days for them to be 80% as good as me. If I'm hiring an acquisitions person, it's going to be like 90 days until they're 80% of as good as me, and they're actually getting deals. But I think so many times people just hire one of those two positions and they expect them to get a deal like within a week or whatever. And it's just not the case. And they can do that. They might have success, but it's just a flash in the pan. It's not scalable, and it's not something you can build your business on.
Yeah. And one thing you told me a few years ago was trying to replace yourself, like train that person, but have them basically teach you your job back to you to see how much they retained it. And if they could basically train you again the way you trained them, then they've got it.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's the whole think, pair, share thing of basically like, all right, I'm gonna share it with you. I'm gonna tell you how to do it. We're gonna work through it together. Then we're gonna do it together.
You're gonna learn it.
And then you're gonna
teach it back to me.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny actually. My first presentation I ever did at CG on my own was basically like, what made me successful as a teacher is what makes me successful in the business world.
Yeah,
that's a lot of the same principles. It comes back to that. If I'm trying to teach a student a lesson, I'm not gonna let them go until they can teach it back to me.
Yeah,
because that's the highest form of comprehension. Yep.
So, Brian, from your perspective, when is it the right time for somebody to be looking towards one of these groups, whether it's CG or a competitor that might exist out there? When's the right time? Is it when they're doing like one deal a year, or is it, you know, like how would you evaluate that?
Yeah, it all depends on like kind of what your, you know, it comes back to like what your why is and what you really want to get out of it and stuff, and understanding, you know, when you, you know, do you really want to scale, and are, do you actually want to double your deal flow, or, you know, scale your business or any of those things. So I will say within like CG, like we don't want any newbies. Like we're not going to, like, if you've done like one deal, like we're not the right spot for you or anything. But the reality is, I think it just comes down to anything of like, if you're looking at yourself and you're looking at your business of like, if you don't have something in front of you, you don't have a community in front of you to get you to that next level, then it's time to go out and find it. It's time to figure out what that might be. And sometimes it might be an online course that can get you from one deal to three deals. And then maybe it's just like kind of networking locally. They can get you from three deals to five deals. And all of a sudden, okay, now I can maybe start looking for communities and stuff like that. So the scary thing is there's a lot of people out there that are not necessarily, they're the quote unquote gurus, but maybe they're not in the game anymore or anything like that. They don't actually know what's going on and what it takes to scale the business. So you guys gotta be careful of that as well.
Yeah.
Another thing I would ask is if you've identified like, now's the time I want to join a mastermind, how do you find the right one for you? Or do you just go out and start interviewing a bunch of different?
Just call CG.
Like, how would you, like, if you were looking for a mastermind, you had no affiliate, how would you start by doing that? Finding the right one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to like anything. You're going to do the research, but you want to talk to people that are in it. You want to talk to people that are, you know, if you want to find some people that are in some of the other masterminds and talk to them, and what are they getting out of it and stuff like that. And, you know, talk to people that are in CG and figure out what, like, is it worth it? What are they getting out of it? What's, you know, what is it about and stuff? I think it's always the best way. And I mean, that's why
word of mouth,
you know, most of our, like, we don't do a ton of marketing. We don't do a ton of, you know, a ton of outbound stuff or anything like that, because most of our people come from referrals. It's through having those conversations and things. But I mean, it's just like with anything. When I moved to Carmel here, like, it was basically like, who's my doctor? What, I'm going to talk to people that go to other doctors and I'm going to network and stuff like that and figure out what one works best for me. I want to find the best church. I'm going to go out and I think Anna and I went to like, you know, five different churches until we found the one that we actually liked. And you know, felt with and stuff. So, I mean, I'm biased. I know CG is the best one out there. Stuff, but it depends on the level. It's a big room. There's a lot of people in there and stuff, but at the same time too, the thing I like is that you always within the big room, you always find your small room as well. Like, I would go there and I'd kind of still hang out. There's a group of eight people that I always kind of hung out with and things within there. They're probably some of my best friends. And one of the things we like to say within CG, and it's probably the same case for any mastermind, it's not necessarily worth it unless if you think you're like your five best friends, if not one of them is in the group that you're in, you're probably in the wrong group. So I know that if I look at the five people I can call for with anything in my life, one of them is in CG. Like that's, and I know that's the right group for me.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I guess on top of that, when Nick was mentioning like not a ton of people know like some of the stresses that CEOs go through, and you don't know that until you get to the CEO's level when you're looking out for other people's families and stuff like that. That's when a mastermind could be good, because you don't, like Nick for example, doesn't have a ton of people he can talk to, like in terms of like, I mean, he probably knows a couple other CEOs here and there, but I mean, those kind of groups really would allow you to open up a little bit and talk about that and say, hey, how do you deal with this?
Probably be just vulnerable. Because,
yes, exactly. Oh,
yeah. Because you can't be vulnerable with the people who you're taking care of.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. Exactly. And you might argue
it's hard
to
on
that, but you have to be vulnerable in a very different way than you would be with a peer.
You could be transparent, but that's different.
I will say that there needs to be a true leader of your business, I do think there needs to be some level of vulnerability. You're not going to like tell them anything and everything like you mentioned before. So you want to be their friend, but you can't be their friend because there might be a day where you have to fire them and stuff. And there's got a level of friendship, but there also needs, I think, that level of vulnerability and stuff too.
If business isn't good, they need to know, hey, business isn't going well right now.
Yeah.
And if we trend this way for 3 months, we could be in a very bad spot.
Yeah. Or those days that you're just like, hey, sorry, I was a little short with you this morning. I had a, had a bad morning, got some bad, we're dealing with something personal. I apologize. Like, it's okay to say some stuff like that and be vulnerable with those type of things. So,
yeah. And maybe this is my therapy session here though, but, for me, my perspective is yes, I can definitely be short with people. I can definitely have my moments and have the vulnerability to go back and apologize for it. But at any given point in time, I want everybody in my team to know that, hey, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to lead from the front. And if you get behind me, we're going to get to our goal.
Yeah.
Like line up and we're going to be fine. And for those moments where I'm not sure we're going to be fine, like I can't share that necessarily with them, but I would share it in a group like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And a lot of a lot of people don't know the stress that goes into like, having to know that you are like, you have to make sure that other people in your business are taken care of. Like you're, a lot of people just see it as like you're running a business. And it's like a lot of times, like in our heads, we're thinking about like, oh, like if we're not successful, then they may not eat. You know what I mean? Like they're not getting paid.
That's the reality. That hit me hard. I remember when I took over as CEO for Brett, it was like 3 months in or whatever. I was having a conversation with Ronnie and I was like, oh man, like I'm responsible for like Ronnie's kids eating.
Ronnie's family.
Yeah.
Ronnie's got a big family. So. Yeah.
shout out Ronnie.
Yeah. But I mean, that is the case. And it's their responsibility and things, but it's really the idea that you have to set them up for success and make sure it's good of, it's kind of one of those things of, I feel like when something's not going right within the business, it's so, people are so quick to judge their lead manager, acquisition manager, put it back on the person. But the reality is like, if you're running your business correctly, if there's something wrong that's going on, like you need to look at your processes first. All right. Is the process broken? And then like, is the expectation broken? Is the training broken? Okay. Now I can look at the person.
Yeah.
If I can answer yes to all, the process is great. The process is in place. We're doing it. We're doing everything we need to. The expectation is realistic that we did fantastic training on this. I've trained it multiple times. Now you can say like, okay, it's the person. I need to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. So, that's a good, lead into my next question for you. So you're kind of known like you're, superpowers like being a connector and like just finding the right people. Like, what's your process of finding the person that's going to fit your organization? And like, how do you go about that?
That's a great question. Cause I talked to our recruiter this morning and I was like, dude, hopefully you're not getting frustrated with me. Cause he's like, he's sent over like a bunch of people and I'm just like, hey, it's like, and I have my notes of like, hey, here's why this person didn't make it past the second level. Here's why this person didn't even get an interview and, those kind of things. But it comes back to, the biggest thing, it comes back to core values. I want to make sure it
starts with core values.
Starts with core values. You need to make sure that you are hiring and firing over core values. And that seems fluffy, but it's so true. Like you need to make sure that everybody you're bringing into your organization, they can work together and they have the same mentality. It's the same thing as come back to like the CG thing. If you don't have the go-giver mentality, CG is not the place for you. Like it's just not. But it's the same thing within the business. If you have your core values, that person that's just like, hey, I'm just all about winning. I just want to crush the competition. Like I just want to make as much money as I can. Like they're probably not going to fit into my organization. Yeah. I want to make money too. And I want to win. I'm pretty competitive, but that's not the person that I want to hire because I'm going to worry about their morals when there's a tough decision on the line.
They're going to
gravitate
towards money versus
it goes back to the
right thing.
Yeah. Is. That one ultimate question is basically like, hey, everybody says they have integrity, but if you go to McDonald's and you they give you an extra dollar back, are you going to give it back to them? Are you going to put it in pocket? Are you going to put it in the Ronald McDonald house because it's a charity and stuff?
Yeah.
If they answer anything other than like, I give it back right away, like they're not the person for me. They need to do the right thing. And that's what the right thing is. So,
That's a great interview question.
That is a
Brian's great got some slick interview some questions.
Bangers,
the funny thing we had Cameron Harold at our last event. Just an amazing CEO. So he was the COO of like 1-800-GOT-JUNK and has led a bunch of different businesses and very dynamic speaker, did a great job and things. But the funny thing is that he got brought up of like, had everybody in the room. You know, there's 175 real estate investors in there, leaders. They're either CEOs or COOs. And it's basically like, hey, raise your hand if you ever hired somebody. You know, almost everybody in the room stands up. And he's like, okay, raise your, or, you know, or stand up if you ever hired somebody. Everybody stood up. And he's like, stay standing if you've ever been through hiring training. Everybody sat down except for four people. Like, it's just crazy. That's the reality of like, I've hired a bunch of people. I've fired a bunch of people. I've never like actually been through like hiring training of how to hire and how to interview and those things too. So it's one of those things of
yeah, that's something I never thought about.
Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it comes down to like, if you want to set that person up for success, like you probably need to interview them the right way. And how many times do us as like leaders, like meet somebody at a coffee shop, be like, oh man, this person would be great in our organization. Yeah. Let's bring them in and stuff. But actually
you don't know them enough take them through the process. Level, yeah.
Well, there's that piece of it. And then usually when we're hiring is because the pain has gotten so bad.
I need to find someone.
Get me somebody in the seat. Yeah. And all right, you're fine. You're good enough that you're making the hire. And yeah, I think you're totally right. Having that hiring training and the discipline to reach back out to your recruiter and be like, hey, like these 10 people weren't the right fit because of X, Y, and Z. Like that takes a whole lot of integrity and a whole lot of patience and willingness to forego short-term revenue and short-term pain remediation in order to kind of look for the longer-term vision.
Yeah. I mean, if any out there, anybody that's listening, like goes out there and think like, they want to think like, oh, if their next hire, who would that next hire be for them? And they're thinking about that. Like the first question is, do you actually have like all the trainings that you need to in place for that person? And I guarantee you, they can probably think of like, one. I don't have this. I don't have this. And so are you actually set up to hire somebody for them to be successful, meaning that like, hey, everything you need, is it recorded? Like I always look at like, do I have a recording of how to do it? Then like a checklist of all the things that need to be happening with it. But then it comes back to too, Nick, what you're saying of a lot of times we get to that next hire of just like you're scrambling because you're in a position where you need to. Yeah. You're running like the organization the right way. And this is one of the toughest things to do, but the right time to hire is when you're basically like at 80% capacity.
Yeah.
Cause then you have 20% that can actually go towards training and hiring, but we always wait. We're always at like 120% when we hire somebody in and stuff, which is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, Nick's got an awesome wife who can probably help him with that too, with the hiring.
You know, my wife has hired many of the people. Actually, all of my key employees that I've hired over the last 3 years, my wife has been involved in through a variety of different things. Yeah. She finds my unicorns.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
She does that for a living.
Yeah. That is what she does for a living. It sounds like she probably needs to go over there and talk to CG a little bit.
She needs to give us some hiring processes.
It's fine. I mean, Anna's the same way with her HR background and stuff. There's a ton of times like she'll be watching, you know, and then we always used to do like the, hey, send us a video and you know, of your hiring stuff. There's so many times that like she would watch the video and be like, I want to hire that person. She was right.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Or she knows how to actually like read it. Like, do you actually know how to read a resume and then like question people off of your resume and stuff? Like that's an actual skill.
Yeah.
To do. I know one of the things I have really improved in lately is basically as I'm hiring a position, I'm writing down the job description and stuff like that before I start doing the interviews, is like writing down like all the things that, what are the things that I want to make sure I assess on this interview.
Mm.
So if I want to assess their problem solving ability, I want to, you know, write that down. If I want to measure their integrity, I'll write that down. Their team, you know, if they're a team player, I'm going to write all that stuff down and then basically write down all those skills and then basically like make sure I have a question that's deliberately for that particular thing and stuff. So a lot of like, hey, tell me about a time when, or, you know, giving them a scenario of like, hey, let's say this happens. Like, how would you react? Yeah. What would you do? Cause I want to know actually if they've done it before or how they're going to think through something.
Yeah. So there's an old aphorism of be slow to hire and be fast to fire.
Yeah.
Was that something you'd agree with, or?
I would agree with that. Especially when it comes, I think with a lot of people out there, especially when it comes to virtual assistants, I want to make sure that like I'm not, like I always felt bad about letting somebody go.
Yeah.
But the reality is like virtual assistants are usually, there's going to be another position.
There's
for
a placement
them.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm a little quicker to let them go, in general, but a lot of times when it comes to letting, if I know they're not the right person for whatever position I'm hiring for, or they're not right fit for the company, like I think it's important to let them go as quick as possible. I feel like I hang on to it way more because I take it personal and I'm like, I need to do a better job of training them up and doing this and doing that. But
I think that's a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, what are the red flags then? Out of curiosity, we've talked a lot about hiring. What are the red flags that are like the, hey, this is somebody that we need to move on from versus this is somebody I need to lean more into to make successful.
Yeah. So I think it comes down to, you're going back to that list I kind of had of like, okay, is the process dialed in? Is the expectation clear? Is it clear and attainable? And then is the training in place? So basically kind of the first question is, are they a team? Like, are they a team fit? Are they clashing? Are they, you know, kind of insubordinate? It's a weird word, but are they, you know, it's not like jiving with the team and something like that. That's a whole other issue that I think you kind of have to look at and stuff. And hopefully you've done enough through the interview process, you can kind of source that out a little bit. But the reality is a lot of times when you're like looking at that person and you say like, oh man, actually our systems are kind of funky. Like we told them to do this, but then we've changed it three times since then. Cause that happens a lot. Like, okay,
they need retrained.
They need retrained. We need to try to look at this. Or like the expectation of like, yeah, they should be able to set up 10 appointments for me a week. Like why wouldn't they be able to do that? Well, do we have enough leads that actually support that? Does it actually make sense? Do you have the capacity to go on 10 appointments a week? Like all those things. So just going back to, if the process makes sense and the expectations make sense and feel like you've trained them, like I always feel like it's if they've done all those things and it's still an issue, then it probably is the person.
Yeah.
So look at yourself first.
Would you say more times than being the person, it's within the process or the expectations part? Like that's where you find the issues?
Generally, it's generally the process part, the training part that usually needs to be revamped more than anything.
Probably might be still a good fit. It's just need to sharpen up on those processes and procedures then.
Yeah.
It sounds like personality and effort are the two things that are the very quick disqualifiers.
Yeah. If they're going to put, if they're not, and hopefully that's why if you are interviewing, you got to have a multi-step interview process. You got to be able to, you know, interview them on your own, but then interview them. Like I like to do a panel interview where I have them, like, even if you don't have enough people on your team, like interview them with like a close friend or somebody you view as a mentor, like kind of have somebody else on there so they can get a read on them too. And then, you know, do something where you definitely meet them in person in some way. I know obviously it's a virtual assistant or some other thing, like kind of put them in, you know, if you can meet them in person, I think do that more than anything. Cause you're going to, everybody's a little bit different in person.
I think with VAs too. Like I think it's, you want to definitely, obviously you want to hop on Zoom, but you want to kind of see what their setup is like. And like, you know, do they have an actual working area where they can
schedule your interviews with them at different times, like in the morning, afternoon and evening, because there might be kids running around at a certain time, or there might be roosters crowing in the background, or there's all those kinds of things too. So one of the things I've definitely started doing with interviewing everybody I interview now, if they make it past like our second interview is a panel interview. So if they make it past the panel interview and everybody gives them kind of like an okay, then I'm going to give them an assignment before they come in for their like third interview.
Would you pay them for that assignment?
I would.
Okay.
I haven't yet, but I would.
Yeah.
Especially if we're going to use it, if we're going to put it in there. But basically I want to see, that's the main thing. I want to see how they work and their thought process. And a lot of stuff is like kind of basic things, but I just want to see what effort are they going to put into it, and then like just how they're going to think through something.
So just out of curiosity, what would an assignment like that look like?
Yeah. So one of the things we work out on now, like if somebody applies to CG, we send them like a little conversion packet, which contains just a, you know, it's a mailer that has a video player in it that talks about CG. It's got a book in it. It's got a letter in it and stuff like that. Well, right now we have to manually do all those things in-house. Like actually somebody on our team is like packing all those and going to the post office and mailing all those and stuff like that. So one of the assignments I gave for the last role I was hiring is basically like, hey, we wanted to get to the point where all we have to do is push a button and like a fulfillment center takes care of that. So like explain kind of how you would go about that process of sourcing that person, figuring out what that'd be and things like that. And
I like it.
Yeah.
It's how they think too.
So it's how they think. Like one, you know, not throwing anybody on the bus here, but one of our candidates was basically like, oh, I would just email somebody that could do it. That was her solution. Like, okay, well, that's disqualification. Like, there's no thought put in that or anything like that. Yeah. But then, you know, another person that came in, she had actually talked to like three different fulfillment centers and like wrote out the pricing and like had like a little diagram of like how I could see basically what the price points were and what all they could do and what their capability was and all that type of stuff. It's the
kind of person you just want to walk up to and give a big old hug.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Talking about all this interviewing, it's giving me anxiety. I'm glad I don't have to interview and go through all these processes anymore. So it's interviewing is stressful. Very stressful.
Yeah. What it comes back to.
That guy asked, have you ever been through hiring training?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what it comes back to is what we've been talking about all along, like being in that CEO role. What's the toughest thing to do is manage people. So yeah, we got to find the right people, then we got to manage the right people, and then you got to retain the right people. Yeah. Like that's a lot of stuff, and that's really like your number one job as the CEO, other than the P&L. It's to like basically attract talent, bring in talent, and then retain talent.
Yeah, but not only that, I mean, like, I'm glad I don't have to be on the other side, being the interviewee.
Oh yeah,
I'm glad like that, because that's what
that's
I mean.
What you're saying.
Yeah, that's stressful. Like we're talking about this, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't got to go interview with Brian right now.
Shoot, man.
Well, I'll say too. So this is
I don't want Brian to interview me.
You guys,
Brian's gonna be a tough interview.
No, well, the thing it is, like I'm too nice. You guys know me well enough too. Like, so I dealt with this. Like the last person I had to let go. Like we got to the point, like, and this should never happen. Like she was surprised that I was letting her go.
Oh yeah.
And like that should just never happen.
Yeah.
And like I laid out a lot of things after I explained it. She's like, she understood it, but the reality was is that I was too much, like I was helping her out too much or sugarcoating stuff too much versus having the,
where she didn't, you know, she I was didn't see that, any writing on the wall where it could have been a possibility.
Where I was kind of giving that, you know, they talk about the sandwich where you give, say something good, then you break the game of bad news. Yeah. And
there's way too many carbs in that sandwich, it sounds like. all right. That actually does kind of transition really well to a point that, you know, this is my personal therapy session, I guess, but
let it out.
One of the things I have struggled with, and you know, maybe it's, you know, having worked in, you know, or played sports, worked in a predominantly male dominated industry for a long time, I feel like I can be much more direct in with most men and have that be received in a positive way.
Yeah.
I have not been as effective with most of my female employees who, if I'm direct, that is not received all that well.
The right way.
Where it's not an attack on somebody's character or their work ethic or anything like that. It's just, hey, we've got a problem. Like, how are we going to fix this?
Yeah.
Is often received quite poorly, at least the way I'm delivering it. So I'm curious from your perspective, like, how do you recommend giving feedback and coaching people when you have a collective problem you need to face that that you're hoping to tackle?
Yeah, it's a great question and tough. And this is, of course, there's no legal advice or HR advice in stuff or anything. Yeah. But I think it's a tough thing. It just comes back to that, like setting the expectation of like, hey guys, sometimes I'm gonna have to have a difficult conversation, and I'm not attacking you, I'm not attacking your character or your work ethic or anything like that, but we're gonna have to have some tough conversations. And the reality is like, when we have those tough conversations, the goal is always to come out with a solution. So just understanding that that's where you're coming from, and then you know, obviously saying that from the start too, like, hey, you're doing a good job here, but we have an issue within the business and we have to do this. Or really, when it comes to you too, is like, if there actually is an issue with their performance that is the issue, I just always want to like back it up with data in some way. Yep. So is there a metric, or is there something that I can always go back to, or actually have documented those situations that come up? So I think a lot of times when it's, you know, we're in the situation of we're running and gunning each and every day, sometimes it's tough to like, you have to, when you have that difficult conversation or something does come up, even if you don't have that conversation, like document it so at least you can come back to it and have proof of it in some ways. But I don't know. That's a tough one though. Of like, if you know, kind of coming into, hey, having conversations with some team members than other team members, the reality is you want to say like, oh, I treat all team members the same, and they all have the same opportunity, they all have the same. But the reality is just like a student that I had, like I can receive like all my students, they weren't all the same student for me. I'd always had to reach them all on a different level to get through to them. Yeah. And sometimes it's the, you know, the team members are the same way. So some team members are going to want that, you know, that dynamic of, hey, just give it to me straight. Like give it to, you know, that they're okay with that. And some team members might not. So I would come back to, honestly, Nick, with that, I was always looking like, when you're hiring people or bringing people onto the team, are they the people that you're bringing in for you? If you're the one that's leading them, you got to hire people that can take that harsh criticism or kind of, kind of handle it that way and deal with it.
Yeah.
It's almost like being a coach, you know, like you have to know how to coach each player differently.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, unless you're hiring the same, like you're hiring what you want. But I mean, realistically, it's going to be, everyone's going to take differently.
And there can be completely fantastic people, completely fantastic employees that aren't going to work for your team because of the dynamic between each other.
Yeah.
That's okay too.
You could ask the same question to like you as I would to Nick, and it could be just taken two different ways. Like you could be like, okay, how do I work through this? Where Nick is like, oh, are you just calling me out right now? Yeah. Like it just,
I
can see how that can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see where that pain point is for sure. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you guys use predictive index a lot. And
what is predictive index? So
Brian's more of an expert than me, but basically it's a personality assessment where you can see kind of how you react in different situations. And to your point, it will break down, how does this person respond?
Receive feedback.
Yeah. How do they receive feedback? How can you best manage this person? So I'll let Brian kind of dive more deep into that, but you guys still use that, right?
Yeah, I think you should always, if you're hiring somebody, I'd use some kind of personality, you know, assessment some way, whether it's
it shows the predictive
index
in their head,
or DISC, or you know, the Enneagram, yeah. Working so
it's
Genius,
like the ENTJ thing or whatever. Okay,
it's good to like kind of know the person that they are and like kind of how they react to something. And I'm somebody like I never necessarily look at a personality assessment to know what like to. I don't use it for hiring purposes, but I'll use it for managing purposes.
Exactly.
So I know how
they work under stress,
how they work with that and stuff. Interesting. And, or you can also use it to know like the only way I kind of look at it is like hiring purposes, you know, kind of what box they maybe fit into, not saying they can't do other things, but it's going to tell you how long they can do it. So for example, like I'm type of person I'm that kind of mold of like, I can do operations, but I'm not like an operator at heart. I'm more of a visionary type person and stuff like that. I can do the operations because I'm organized and I have the transferable skills as a teacher and things like that that help me out. But the reality is if I'm in the weeds all day long on like process system and stuff like that, and I'm not talking to anybody, I'm going to burn out super quick.
You gotta interact.
I have to like
bounce ideas.
Yeah. On the PI, the B is my number one driver, which is basically like kind of how it's your like kind of your people indicator of how much, it's basically how much energy do you get from other people. I get a lot when I'm around other people or on Zoom with other people having conversations, like I get energy from that. So I have to have that throughout my day, or I'll just drain out or not be able to do things that long.
I guess my pushback would be how honest do we think people are being on these tests? Do we think they're answering how they think the right answer is, or how they actually feel or respond or however what they think the answer should be?
On most of those, like generally when you give them the results of the assessment, if they're not saying like, oh, that sounds exactly like me, they probably didn't take it the right way.
So you ask them like, hey, does this,
well, I was just like seem, have them read through it, like, hey, seem like, I just like they'll say it themselves, they'll like start reading through it, like, oh my gosh, it sounds just like me and stuff.
Gotcha.
Or you give it to their
or they're like,
give it
what?
To their, give it to their spouse other. And let them read it, and it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's them.
Yeah. That's the one thing I did. The first thing I took a PI, took it to Kimmy, and I was reading it to her, and she was like, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you say PI? Is
what, well,
the predictive index PI, for sure.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, I what you were saying just resonated with me so much. Yeah, if I am forced to get into the implementation of systems, I'm going to blow my brains out. Like, I can do it, and I will probably do it better than anybody else. But like,
honestly, that's something I always thought you were really good at. Yeah,
but I hate it. Like, yeah. I'm the guy that you want me within my organization. You want me out there thinking about, like, you want me sitting down and thinking and having like green space to just like be able to think about what the next thing is, because that's going to unlock some opportunity. Like, two out of every three things are going to be trash, but you want me like out there researching and just like kind of following whatever my passions are. But because my business will fail if you put me in the operations role long term. Like, I can do it, but
I don't think you'd fail, Nick.
Yeah,
I don't think you would fail. You would just get bored.
Yeah. That's a good description. All right. Yeah. Better.
So with that, knowing that about yourself, that's huge and that's key. So like my thing for that would be like, do you have somebody in your organization that can tell you no? That basically, not to say it can tell you no, but can ask you like,
so many people are willing to tell me no.
That can ask you the stop when, the how. That's so many times of like us as like the vision, like the visionary people that they're out there and you're finding the next thing, which is 100% what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Because one of your main roles as CEO as well is that we've talked about like basically leading and, you know, the P&L and bringing in talent, but it also it's innovating.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that visionary needs to be doing is innovating, and you need to be doing that. But you need to have that person on the team too. If everybody's just like, yes, let's do it. Yes, let's do it. And if you end that, you're going to like, you're just going to be in the weeds on so many things.
When you're going to be, so distracted.
Yeah.
Follow every carrot. Yeah.
So you got to have that person that I always like to say that that true number two is not necessarily the person they necessarily can't tell you no, but they're going to ask you the right question. They're going to ask you the when, the why, the how, and stuff like that. And generally you're going to end up talking, okay, yeah, let's pull that back. Let's actually wait on that a little bit. So.
That's a P2. That's not a P0.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason and I have a great, Jason Medley, the owner of CG, we have a great process we go through every week. We basically go through our one page plan every single week. And I know next week we're going to both come up with an idea because we both have that visionary mindset. We're going to come up with a random idea of like, hey, can we do this? Let's put this in. And versus like saying like, yeah, let's do it. It sounds great. Let's jump it in. We're literally looking at our one page plan and saying like, okay, where would this fit in? Do we have the capacity for this? Is this priority over this or priority over that? You know what? This stuff is way more important than we have going on. It's a great idea, but we can't do that until November. So we have it like right there in front of us every single day or every single week that we're going through that.
So you can understand where it is. With your one page plan, you can make those decisions instantly.
Yeah.
I love that. So one of the things I implemented in my business, because you know, we've got several of them going that are very disparate, is I pull everyone together on one email chain. And like, it's the only email chain we send on a weekly basis where my wedding people are talking to my construction people, are talking to my investments people. Like, everybody's talking on the same chain, and I send out every Sunday. I write it every Sunday, it sends out every Monday, and then every Friday I send the follow-up, which is, hey, this is what I'm going to get done this week. Like, this is what I'm targeting to get done. If you want to add something to this, like, you can reach out, but like, this is, as I'm entering the week, what I'm hoping to accomplish. And I accomplish like 50% of it most of the time, but it clearly sets out, hey, like these are the objectives. Then at the end of the week, I hold myself accountable. Like, yep, got that one done. Nope, didn't even touch it.
Love
like,
that.
I make every member of my team respond to that email with what their like core items are that they really need to get done that week. Because yeah, you're right. It's so easy to just go chase every opportunity that exists out there, but there are things that we need to block and tackle on a regular basis. Especially
with the company you have, like with the employees, you have to make sure everyone's moving their needle in the right direction. And that's the best. I love that, by the way. Like, good job.
Copy it. It's great.
Just want to say I love that.
And then come back to the team members. Like, they have to do that too. Basically, like, hey, this is what they're responsible for and things. So
it's accountability.
Because back, like I was saying, like, each one of my team members has their own individual one page plan too.
Yeah.
And when I have my same page with them each week, like that's all we're doing is we're looking at that one page plan. Are we on track or off track for whatever they have to accomplish? So
you're basically taking your to-do list and then like, let's share it. Let's see where we're what we need to get done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weekly check in, weekly check out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's accountability.
Like that's a good.
Yeah. Well, and I fail every single week.
Well, I think you're expected to. I think if you have a checklist that you're getting everything done every week, then your checklist probably isn't long enough to be honest with you.
I think that's the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're hitting,
what if
you're batting 100 every week?
What if you are coming in at 50% every week, but then you expect your team members to come in? That what percentage are they allowed to come in? And how
good,
do you have
good
that
question?
Oh, you know what? I never have actually. So what I'll actually tell you, and I hope nobody on my team watches this. I actually very rarely read their stuff in any particular detail. I did it more as an exercise of organizing myself about what my key priorities are for the week. And
your own accountability.
It was my own accountability, and I wanted them to be thoughtful with how they approach their week. Cause hey, we all have the same 40 hours that we're going to put in, or, you know, I mean, us as CEOs probably put in a little more than that, like, or, you know, business owners or you know, high achievers. But, I want them to be very thoughtful about where they put their hours and what they're hoping to get accomplished. So it's actually not about measuring them. It's about allowing them to measure themselves.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean, we always had like the stick at six that we did. I still do that today. I call it the daily top 10 for myself that I have and stuff. It's got to have a theme. That's how I operate and stuff. But the reality is that like we had all of our team members put that in there, but it wasn't that I was actually going to go through and read what every single person is doing on each day. Kind of premise of like somebody wrote the stick at six book, if they would put the six stick at notes on their bathroom mirror every night. And that's basically the top six things they need to do the next day. So we did that on the spreadsheet. The whole team could see it.
Everyone
and things like that. But the reality was, I just wanted people thinking the day before, what are you going to do the next day? What are those top six things that you need to do? And it's maybe you have two walkthroughs, maybe you have some follow ups. Like, what are those top six things that you need to do and stuff?
Yeah. Man, this has been one hell of a coaching session for us business owners.
No, I know. I can talk to Brian for hours.
We've turned this into
therapy.
I already knew coming in this was going to be a lengthy episode just because he's got a lot of knowledge. So
I mean, or at least how to tackle everything.
Yeah. Like I said, we could talk for hours. Is there anything else you want to touch on, man? Because we can keep talking, or I know you're a busy guy. So
I'm good to answer anything, or if I'm gonna wrap up. I'm good either way.
So for CG, is that just for real estate and adjacent, or can other people for example, if Nick was in a different field and was a CEO and wanted to get involved?
I own a wedding venue. They? Can I join?
Yes. So you probably could qualify for like CG CEO. That's what it's designed for. There's people that are actually kind of outside of the new one. You know, we kind of took the walls off of the real estate confines of that. So obviously our Elevate, our Select, and our Premier things, they derive around like basically how many deals you're doing or what your business size looks like, how much revenue you're generating things. Now, CGCEO, it does have some qualifications on it. You have to have a certain number of employees. You have to have a certain amount of net worth and things like that. You have to qualify for getting in that room, and you're going to be asked some tough questions and have to answer and show proof of some tough things and stuff. But the people in that room, the reality is, I mean, you guys think about this too, all these conversations, when have we actually talked about like marketing or leads? Or we haven't had that conversation at all today.
No.
Because the reality is it's never about really like the real estate side of things. What it's really about is the business side of things.
Yeah.
It's the people and just the processes and the systems and things like that is what a lot of stuff comes down to. So with CGCEO, we did kind of take the confines off the real estate things. Now there's gonna be a lot of real estate people in there, real estate adjacent.
Naturally, sure. Yeah.
But I think it's really, if you're a business owner that's in that spot of you want to scale your business, like that's a room for you to be in. And it's a completely different format than all of our other, products. They're event based. So there's going to be a stage and there's going to be a lot of people in there. But CGCEO, it's literally where there's going to be no more than like 15 people in a room, and you're going to have to like give a 45 minute presentation on like what you're dealing with, what you're going through, what your business is like, what's your biggest issue right now, and like receive some tough feedback back from those people in the room. It's that true like mastermind feel is what we're going with that, because that's what a lot of those people are asking for, and that's what a lot of those people need. So it's not necessarily about the education side of things, what we do within the other aspects of CG, but it's like, hey, let's just dig in, and you need to be vulnerable with your business and what's going on and stuff.
Is it strictly just CEO only, or is it CEO, COO, or
it's just CEO?
So that's it.
Yeah. Now, of course, I'm thinking like, oh, there's another product there. It could be a COO room that we could have.
Well, there could be
as well and things. So, but yeah, it's strictly for CEOs right now. Yeah.
So if people are watching this and they're like, you know what, I do need to elevate my game. All my friends are the ones sitting there playing Call of Duty. I'd rather surround myself with people who are kind of doing what I do. What's the best way for them to get involved in CG?
Yeah. So you can go to thecollectivegenius.com is a great way, or you can reach out to me specifically, just to Brian at thecollectivegenius.com. If you guys want to put my contact info in there and anything, that's fine. I'm more happy to have the conversation and talk to you guys. But I mean, really what we're looking for are people that are, they're doing deals. They have a business, they know how to do some deals, and they're looking to scale in some way. So or that person too, it's that person. And then a lot of times too, get a lot of now of like, there's people that are in other masterminds or other rooms like that, but they're like kind of the top dog. They've kind of outgrown that a little bit. You need to like kind of get to the point where you're not the one that's like kind of giving everything. You need to be able to like be fed as well and stuff. So we're getting a lot of people that are kind of reaching out to us now, like, hey, I'm kind of the one that I'm paying to educate other people a little bit. So
I've been in a mastermind like that before.
Yeah. Which is cool. It's great for the ego. And like I said too, like teaching is the highest form of comprehension. It's going to help you dig into some stuff. But I think CG just as a whole, no matter what level you're at, it just has the highest caliber of real estate investors from across the nation. So you're gonna be able to get into a room with people that are doing things that are going to be a little bit different from you and possibly at a higher level than you as well.
You get to be able to fly on the wall and then give your pain point and let everybody bang it and see if it risk test it and see if it's good or not.
Exactly.
So throw ideas out there.
Love it.
Well, I think it's a good point to wrap it up. So Brian, man, thanks so much for coming on.
It was a great time.
I could see another episode with you on in the future.
I can see so many different episodes. We could get so many different ways.
Yeah, that'll wrap up today's episode of the Indie Investors Speakeasy. So cheers, guys.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.